There is a lot of information coming about this terrorist attack on Moscow. How did you find this event? The U.S. government is talking about ISIS-K. And
yeah, U.S. government's lying, okay? They're lying. March 7th, U.S. government comes out with a terrorism warning. Now, and I think we talked about this on your last show, but, you know, I've been involved firsthand with how information about a potential terrorist attack is handled. When I joined the counterterrorism office at State Department in 1989, this was about 11 months after the bombing of Panam 103. And there was a belief among many Americans that the CIA and State Department had advanced warning that there's going to be a terrorist attack against that airplane. And therefore, we told all of State Department people and military people and CIA people, don't go on that plane. Well, that was a lie. It was not true. But that was the perception. So to deal with that perception, we had to come out with a very specific policy. So there's always terrorist threat information coming in. You have to make an assessment of, is it credible? And then the second part is it specific? So if you've got, you know, somebody saying, hey, well, you know, there's this group, and then let's say that there's ISIS-K, and we believe they're going to attack some sort of public venue in Mexico, in Moscow. Okay. So, that's based upon not just a human source reporting it, but we've got it in intercepted conversations between two or three of the plotters, but we're not sure where those plotters are located. All right, we'd say that's very credible information. But since we don't know exactly where or when, we are going to put out a warning. However, before we do that, we're going to contact the government in Moscow and say, hey, guys, this is what we've got. This is what is going on. And we're going to be announcing publicly that there is this terrorist threat. That's how it's supposed to work. That didn't work. That didn't happen. United States and United Kingdom, hey, people, stay away from these public places like concert halls and malls. Stay away. And they didn't go and inform the Russians. How do you know that? Well, we've got the foreign affairs spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, and we've got Dmitry Medvedev, who's the head of the National Security Council. At a minimum, you'd think they'd know. And, you know, they'd have no reason to come out and point a finger at the United States and at the West in general for some possible complicity in this. So you've got that. Then you have, on March 7th, we just got this information yesterday, a photograph of that fellow Shamshid, I guess is his name. He was at the center. So don't know if he was doing surveillance. Don't know if he was there in preparation for an attack that day, and they called it off because, you know, there was a pretty heavy presence of security because of this one Russian pop star named Shaman. He was going to perform. So, but they had this guy at the Crocus. Now, this begs a question. Was the CIA monitoring communications between the Ukrainians and these so-called Islamists? Because they're not really good Islamists. They're terrible Islamists. You know, they violate Ramadan. They're not... you know, they're driven entirely by profit. You know, that's why they did it. They were paid to do it. They didn't do it because this is for the glory of Allah, that this was to punish the evil infidels. for straying from God's commandments. No. It's just, hey, want to earn some extra cash? Instead of selling insurance, just we're going to provide you some guns and you go and shoot the place up. Oh, yeah, and cut some guy's throat while you're at it. So, the whole Islamist angle is ridiculous. And then within 55 minutes of the attack starting, now the attack went on for about 2 hours. Within 55 minutes of it starting, Washington, D.C. comes out and says, it's not Ukraine. Now, wait a second. Are they got mind readers, clairvoyants, working now in the National Security Agency doing what they call remote viewing? You know, some sit around a Ouija board? Well, no. So the reason they could speak so confidently is because they knew. They knew who was involved. But the saying it's not Ukraine, there's a cover story using the Islamic extremists who are terrible Islamic extremists to just go in and shoot the hell out of a civilian gathering spot. You know, that accomplishes nothing from a military or political standpoint other than pissing the Russians off to no limit and making sure that they're going to lead a bloody trail when they get done with this. So and then on top of that, even weeks before the March 7th, Victoria Nuland, oh, Putin's in for a nasty surprise. It may not be completely unrelated to this, but if you're a Russian official, you're looking at that going, yeah, the Americans were involved. They knew about it. They had Nuland making these threats, talking about it, and therefore, that's ultimately, we're going to go after anyone who was involved. Emphasis on anyone. They didn't say anyone in Ukraine. Anyone, anywhere. The Russians are going to go after them and punish.
Larry, do you think these guys, these Tajiks, they were four people?
Well, there was a total of 11. There were four that were captured at Bryansk. I know that three more have been arrested today, a father and two sons. Not clear what their role was. There are a lot of unanswered questions. Did they do, we know that at least one of them was in the building a week or 2 weeks before the attack took place. Was he doing surveillance? Was he there, getting ready to carry out the operation that day and decided to back out? Who knows? But the collection of the firearms, the rifles, they were also equipped, it looked like, with some pistols and some knives. They had some combat rigging, vests and harnesses. But again, these guys, they didn't give off, they didn't carry themselves like military people or like experienced military people. One guy's walking with the gun just slung down in his hand, carrying it. You're not carrying it at the ready to be prepared to engage. You're just, very, very loose with it. So you got to look at the whole logistics train of who obtained the guns. Where were the guns stored? When did these guys pick up the guns? Who bought the car? Whose car was it? How did they communicate? Do they have any other communication means to say, hey, we're going to come out of this door and have the car waiting? Or is that something they had rehearsed previously? So this, it wasn't that they just showed up and jumped out of the car and started shooting without any prior planning or preparation. But at the same time, they were not terribly sophisticated. They could have, if they were a competent squad of guys with military skills. They could have gone in and just eviscerated the place. I mean, they could have caused more than 1,000 casualties, but that didn't happen, thank God.
Gary, do you think these people were part of the Tajik mercenaries in Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. You know, we gotta wait and see how this develops. Clearly they've been identified as Tajiks, and it appears that they had been in Russia for a while. But the cover story they're giving out that I was sitting at home minding my own business when following this preacher, and some preacher man reached out to me and said, "Hey, we'll give you some money if you go kill some people." Sorry for the hillbilly accent, but you know, this was that kind of stupid. All right. And then, yeah, we're going to pay you the money up front. We'll give you half. And then you come see us for the other half afterwards. Really? How's that work? Where were they supposed to go to get paid? So, like I said, a lot of the story doesn't really hang together yet. And the Russians have been pretty efficient in tracking them down and, getting them. And I'm sure this is going to lead to the rumors that, oh, the Russians knew this was going to happen. They allowed it to happen so that they would have a reason to really go after Ukraine. You know, people say that are stupid. They haven't been watching what's going on in Ukraine militarily. The Russians are kicking Ukrainian ass every day up and down the line, and they're moving backwards. They're on the outskirts now. Chavez Yar. So, the Russians don't need to stage something in order to fight harder against the Ukrainians or look for a pretext to attack NATO forces. Please. I think we mentioned this on Friday. We've already had terrorist attacks by the West involved in supporting the SBU and their version of military intelligence as well. The terrorist attacks against where they tried to kill Alexander Dugin and they killed his daughter instead. Again, a clown show, but a malevolent, malicious, deadly one at that. I forget the name of the Russian journalist. At least there have been a couple of journalists killed. And then you get down to the use of these attacks on civilian areas throughout the Donbas and then into Belgorod with weapons provided by the United States and the United Kingdom and France. These are war crimes. By providing them with those weapons, the Ukrainians with the weapons, the United States, United Kingdom, and France are accessories to murder. It's no different than if, I gave you, hey, do what you want with it, and you go out and you shoot some people, innocent folks. I'm as guilty as you are. I enabled you to be able to commit a crime. And that's exactly what the West is doing. So again, Russia doesn't need to stage a pretense of a Western involvement in terrorist attacks. Good God, we've got 2 years of evidence already.
How did you find the timing of this terrorist attack?
Well, they may have wanted to do it before, which was why the U.S. Embassy came out with its warning when it did. But for whatever reason, it was delayed. But think about this. So if these guys are good Muslims, if they're real genuine ISIS types, remember the ISIS types are deep into their faith. It's Ramadan. You don't eat all day. So they're fasting. So you're without food all day, and then just as it's getting dark, that's when you decide to launch the attack. It'd be one thing if they were, going in with guns blazing to hit a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken and pull out some fast food, but they didn't do that. So that, again, the timing from that doesn't make sense. They went after, you know, when a big crowd was there. But again, they're good Muslims celebrating Ramadan. They should have been breaking fast. Instead, they're out shooting off their guns. So whoever put them up to this and said, okay, yeah, we want to attack this location, I think they naively believed that it would weaken Putin. It would create potential division in Russian society between those who want to, go totally medieval on Ukraine, and those who are counseling restraint, to try to exacerbate tensions between those two camps. And they keep, nobody studies history on these things. Go back and look at the, we talked about it Friday, I think, the Beslan attack in 2002. Or 2004, on September 1st, and then the attack about 2 years prior to that on that theater in Moscow. Each of those attacks, instead of raising protests against the Russian government, against Putin, united, rallied the population. But, in those Americans who were here in the United States 22 years ago, in the aftermath, 23 years ago now, in the aftermath of 9/11, the day after, there were no political divisions anymore in America. And that lasted for about 3-4 weeks. There wasn't Republican, there wasn't Democrat, all this partisan crap stopped. There was unity. People were brought together. And then, George W. Bush pissed it all away, getting involved in an unnecessary war in Iraq, and bang, we're back at it in terms of partisan politics. But the point is, this has united, the vast majority of Russians are united, firmly united behind the government, firmly supporting anything the government feels it needs to do to address, to kill and destroy those who authorized this, who funded this, who helped organize this, not just the ones who carried it out. They're going to go after the whole infrastructure.
Whenever you have a terrorist attack on the United States, we've seen that Russians are warning the United States. The same thing was happening to the United States, helping Russia. But right now, it seems that the Ukraine war is changing everything.
I'm not aware of the United States passing any information to the Russians in the past as far as preventing a terrorist attack goes. Maybe it happened, but I'm not aware of that. I am aware that the Russians did pass information about one of the Tsarnaev brothers, the oldest one, in terms of the threat that he posed. And it's unclear if... apparently, the FBI just let that fall through the cracks. Was noteworthy in the U.S. response to this. They sent John Kirby out to say, oh, yeah, this is a tragedy. Our condolences go out to the Russian people. Biden didn't call Putin. Biden made no effort to address Putin and express any kind of remorse over this. And... remember, 2 months ago now, when Alexei Navalny, the political gadfly, I call him, and he died in prison. Biden was out immediately bemoaning, expressing grief and just, having direct communication to the family and survivor of Navalny. Sends a message that the United States cares far, far more about some racist, Muslim-hating demagogue dying in prison than they do about trying to rebuild, reestablish any kind of normal human relationship with Vladimir Putin.
How do you see Russia responding if they found something related to the Ukrainian government?
Russia's not going to do something dramatic and emotional. They're going to be very meticulous and methodical in who they go after. They already, over the last 4 days, have stepped up missile attacks, missile and rocket attacks against power plants, hydroelectric power plants, conventional coal-fired power plants, power grids, military bases, military warehouses used by NATO to store things. So, the Russians are already hitting those. And I think what we will see is they may start hitting Ukrainian government officials. Even going as far as to target them at their homes. They're going to hit them at their homes, maybe. But, there have been at least two occasions where Zelensky has expressed concern that the Russians were going to kill him. When they were entered through the negotiations back in March of 2022, he asked Naftali Bennett, the former Israeli prime minister, to reach out to the Russians and say, hey, promise not to kill this guy. And Bennett apparently got some assurances from the Russians. Yeah, we're not going to whack him. I could foresee somebody calling up Bennett and saying, hey, remember that promise we said that we wouldn't whack Zelensky? That's no longer in effect. That's canceled. He's on the list. I think, another area that you could see Russia escalate in this is to take out the Starlink, Elon Musk's Starlink capability to upload, download information via the satellites. Because that's been used in targeting and then used to kill Russian civilians. I think the Russians may finally say, okay, we're sick of this crap. That's going to stop. Take it down.
If we look at the possibility of Ukrainian government doing this terrorist attack alone and the United States not knowing what they're doing in Ukraine, let's look at this possibility. If that was the case, do you think that would bring down the support for Ukraine in the United States?
Well, I think the Ukrainians calculated that they don't have much further to go in terms of losing support in the United States. They've already lost support in that nobody's stepping up to the plate to say, hey, let's give them another $61 billion. So what I think happened is that the CIA officers got wind of this plot, that this was going to be Ukraine. That's part of the reason you had this leak, first to the Financial Times, talking about that, the Ukrainians are a bunch of rogue elephants running around doing crazy stuff on their own and creating more problems than they're worth. Then you had that tweet by the Open Source Information Intelligence Defender, OSINT Defender, who is, in my view, just a CIA front company, or it's, somebody who's used as a convenient tool to get information out from the government. And, he came out and also repeated some of the same complaints in the Financial Times piece about Ukrainians being crazy, difficult to manage, out of control, and that, Washington is going to take steps to try to rein them in. So, I think it's highly likely that the Ukrainians said, hey, we're going to do this. We're not going to tell the Americans, but somebody told the Americans. And the Americans, instead of intervening at that point with the Ukrainians, going to say, hey, stop this. And if you go forward with this, we're pulling out. Well, they didn't do that. And they didn't warn the Russians. But they had knowledge. They clearly had knowledge.
Do you think at the end of the day, that would be the most aggressive attack that they can do? Or if they have these Taurus missiles, these long-range missiles, they can use them without the United States knowing it?
If they do that, it's going to unleash probably a nuclear strike by Russia. Once the Taurus missile takes off, how does Russia know it doesn't have a nuclear warhead on it? It is that particular missile is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. And if you're the Russians, you've got to believe it's armed with a nuke. So you got to fire back. That's one way that this thing gets out of control real quick.
The UN Security Council just passed a resolution about the ceasefire in Gaza. The United States abstained this resolution and just let it pass. We've learned that Netanyahu canceled a trip to the United States.
He was sending over a couple more of his cabinet members to go visit the United States. And so his response is, oh, well, I'm not sending them. Great. dry our tears. Because Yoav Gallant is already here. The defense minister is over meeting with Lloyd Austin, and he's going out to CIA headquarters, I'm sure. And he's got to sit down with Joe Biden and Jake Sullivan and team. So what happened at the UN with the United States abstaining from this vote? The rest of the UN Security Council members voted for it. And it means nothing. It means the UN Security Council voted to condemn. All right. Is Israel therefore got to, okay, guys, pack up. We're moving out. We're going home. No, that's not going to happen. The only way that happens is that the Biden administration says, we're turning off the switch. You don't get to continue doing this. This is stopping now. But Biden's not going to do that. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised that Biden pre-coordinated some of this with Netanyahu. He said, okay, BB, look, I'm under tremendous political pressure here at home. So here's what we're going to do. And I know that you're under political pressure in Jerusalem. So I'm going to have Chuck Schumer go to the floor of the Senate, talk about kicking you out of office, making you a target. And, that is going to lead to, and then I'm going to make sure we have enough Jewish members of the Senate to line up and say, yeah, we're with Chuck Schumer all the way, in order to present an image of the Democrat Party to Arab American voters and Palestinian or Muslim American voters up in Michigan in particular, to at least make them think that we're no longer siding with Israel. So that's what we're going to do. And what this is going to do for you, BB, it's going to make you more popular in Israel because we're attacking you. The United States we're ganging up on you. We're being a bully. Then we're going to have to finally cave on this UN Security Council resolution. We'll cave on it, but nothing's going to happen because who's going to implement? And if you do all that, and again, we got to have a good picture for everybody to see. You know, those two guys you're sending over, call them off as a sign that you're not going to put up with our bullying. Meanwhile, we promise we'll keep the weapons flowing. And that's the promise we're giving to Gallant while he's in Washington. That's what I think is going on. That this is, they're doing all, it's all window dressing. It's all designed to look like it's something that it's not. So, yeah, they got a 14-0 vote with one abstention. Ceasefire now. But Israel's not agreeing to the ceasefire. And they're still back and forth with conditions. We want the proof of life that the hostages are alive. Well, we want to guarantee that you're going to release 3,000 prisoners that you're holding and not pick them back up again immediately after you release them. That kind of thing.
Netanyahu said that Israel will not abandon its plan for a military operation in Rafah and is ready to launch it even without the United States support. What do they want to do? Because they pushed all these people to Rafah. Rafah is the last piece of this Gaza Strip.
They want to kill Palestinians. That's what this is about. exterminating Palestinians, getting them the hell out of Gaza. They don't want these miserable lowlifes, you know, dirtying up their country. This is Israel's land. This land is our land, so they say. So that's why they're going to attack Rafah. You know, they still haven't done a thorough job of ethnic cleansing, because you notice that some people are back at the Al-Shifa hospital, which is north of Rafah, and Palestinians continue to try to move back to their original homes, which, you know, in most cases they're finding they're just piles of dust and sand where the homes once stood. But still, the Israelis have had difficulty getting the place under control. If they are deliberately belligerent in a way that, you know, completely defy Washington, D.C., despite Kamala Harris's threat that there will be consequences, then we're going to write them a strong letter. So, you know, they may be calculating they can get away with it. Now, I do find it interesting. They've been threatening to do this now for 2 weeks, and they haven't done it. And that's because they don't have the wherewithal on their own to do it. They are still utterly, totally dependent upon the United States for ammunition, for different kinds of weapon systems, from wheeled, tracked, as well as just man-portable. And so I don't think it's the goose, or in this case, the Uncle Sam golden eagle that lays the golden egg. They don't want to stop that.